5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff.
Today is Thursday, May 26th, and this is the Flyover Conservative Show.
Are the future U.S. elections safe and secure? We have our very own election insider to fill us in.
What if there was a wokeness heat map that you can see where all the Wokey McWokesteens are hanging out and hiding out? Well, we have got something for you.
We all know the dollar is failing, but how does crypto stand up to other options? Tonight, we have double PhD Kirk Elliott to break it down.
Have you heard the story of a childhood actor that got stabbed 9 times and then became a pastor? Well, if you haven't, you're about to.
All of this and more on the Flyover Conservative Show. Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values. Yay! Welcome! We are so glad that you're with us tonight. If you're new to Flyover Conservatives, our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. And have we got the interviews for you tonight of people that are doing just that. You know, we wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. I mean, it was very apparent. We all wanted that. We were all hoping that would happen. But what we've learned over the last year and a half, what we really need is 80 million of us doing one thing every single day to save our own country.
And I don't know if you guys get tired of hearing that or not, but we never get tired of saying it.
No.
Because we know that's the answer. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep driving that home, hitting that every single day, that it's a lot of us doing a little bit. A lot of us loving your wife, raising your kids, building your business, going to work, showing up early, staying late, being excellent, doing hard things, being strong, being brave in little moments, little forks in the road, doing the right thing, picking up a piece of trash that's not yours, just being an example for children that are not even your own. Everybody doing a little bit.
You know, there's been this whole pride in the conservative Christian movement of, you know, being the silent majority. That is not good. That's what's got us where we are today. People were silent. They didn't say anything. The plumb line of Jesus was taken out of all of these different spheres of influence. We can't do that any longer. We have to let our voices be heard. We have to share.
And I want to bring something to your attention here because this was kind of neat. It's a there's an interpretive dance. Have you ever seen like, those people where they like when you watch them, it's like, oh, that's how somebody feels going through a tragedy
or, I've seen
you know,
the
interpretive dances. Well, somebody put together a short one. These are only 8 seconds, but it's an interpretive dance of a Joe Biden speech. You know, it's probably well thought through. It's crafted. I'm sure they've got a staff of Ivy League writers that help them on it. But they don't understand cause and effect, action, reaction. And maybe they watch this show. I don't know if Joe Biden watches this show or not. But this may help him because this is interpretive dance of pretty much every action that he's done over the first year and a half. Let's roll this clip. maybe watch
one more time.
Here we go. You know, and I see that he walks to the podium. This is going to be a good one. I'm actually going to connect. I'm actually going to connect with people. This is going to be fantastic. Oh, I didn't really think through what I said. Maybe it's not good to get up on the podium and insult half of the country on a daily basis. Maybe it's not a good idea to be so incredibly obviously self-motivated in everything that I do. So anyway, we like to start with something funny. There you go.
That is exactly right. If you're wondering what is going on with future elections, we have our very own election insider tonight. We'll be right back.
The Flyover Conservative Podcast, we put attention to a lot of different subjects, but the thing that keeps America from being a banana republic, from being the countries that have fallen to the wayside and are just a memo of history, is honest and fair elections. And we're both eyes on this, never letting up, foot on the gas, focus on our elections. And we even have our very own personal private election insider, Matt Meck. It's a hero's welcome.
Oh, great. So good to have you back. I know you've been traveling, so it's great having you back.
It is. You know, we had the event, the forum in Texas, and a lot of activity going on now as we're planning forums in Ohio, in Kansas, in Georgia, and in Hawaii.
Yay! That's awesome. Man, wait, that's so exciting.
Yeah. You get some volunteers to go help you there. Kansas, not quite so sexy as Hawaii, but it's coming up June 20th, I believe. Is that correct?
June the 20th. And then Ohio is 18 June.
Okay.
Both being moderated by, as you know, our mutual friend, Laura Logan.
That wow. is awesome.
Exciting, exciting. We've got a lot to get through quickly. Guys, buckle up, you know, put your tray tables in the upright position because things are about to get crazy. We're talking about the accfei.org. It's a place mm-hmm. you can go to get all the information on things that are coming. Basically, we got a group of individuals that have made a contract with you, the American people, that said, hey, we're going to uphold election integrity. They're not leaning to the left or the right. They want the truth. They want a fair count, the same thing you'd want from your referees if you're watching a football game. You know, both teams complain that the refs miss calls, but you don't want them to predetermine before the game starts who's going to win.
That's right.
You want them calling balls and strikes, and that's what these guys are all about. So let's start right away. Nobody brought more attention to the election process than Dinesh D'Souza.
Woo, 2,000 mules.
With the 2,000 mules.
Boy, he did, you know, and Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips and the research they did.
Unbelievable.
And brought to Dinesh, because again, the media and Kemp and none of those guys wanted to pursue the data. And now what are we finding? We find in Yuma, Arizona, a place where, you know, I served for 6 years in the Marine Corps at a weapons school. I know Yuma very well. You have two people pled guilty to ballot trafficking, ballot harvesting, one of which was a Democrat politician who pled guilty to conspiracy and has flipped in cooperating with the AG there in Arizona.
That is pretty exciting. That is really, really good. And we're hearing just more and more across the country, great things that are happening. I think that's really important that we do need to focus on what are the good things that are happening as
yes,
well, because
the wins.
Success breeds success.
And people don't hear about the wins. They're not hearing mm-hmm. about these, even on Fox News, they're not hearing about these wins. And you want accountability for the things that have happened.
And I tell you, I think when you've alluded to with the coalition of candidates, and I see the logo there, or you pointed out to a beginning, is that these candidates, they don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, polka dot. They want to make sure the vote you cast is mm-hmm. the vote that's recorded. And I think probably the litmus test for them that people should look at and judge them on is they are holding their own party responsible equally.
Yeah.
The GOP establishment in a lot of these states is not good. Mm-hmm. And they're trying the whisper campaigns to starve these candidates of funds.
Yep.
And they're doing some hanky-panky stuff with voting and so forth. And all of these candidates are calling out their own party equally.
And you know, and that's something that I see consistently. Whenever I'm speaking mm-hmm. to a conservative American and you come up to the election stuff, the things that drive them the most crazy is corruption in the Republican Party.
Yes.
I
think there's going to be a huge accountability for that.
It creates more anger, mm-hmm. you know, than with the other side. We want accountability. I don't care which way they go. You want those guys calling balls and strikes and not putting their thumb on the scale, leaning it towards somebody that they can put in the good old boys club, predetermined.
I agree, you know, and yesterday, I know Rachel Hamm is a friend of yours as well. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a 2-hour meeting, I think, 1.5, 2-hour meeting with the LA County Sheriff's Office on election integrity and
wow.
what they're concerned about, a Democrat sheriff, Sheriff Villanueva, what mm-hmm. they're concerned about with election fraud, whether Republicans are doing it or Democrats are doing it, they are want to train their deputies to be sound observers in the election process to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Man, that's huge. Let's talk about coalition results. You've got some things happening in Georgia and Alabama. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of folks they saw Georgia and they saw, of course, Kemp won over Perdue and Jody Heiss. Kemp is the current governor there who, to be fair, has actually, when you talk to folks in Georgia, he's governed very conservatively mm-hmm. and he's not that disliked in Georgia. Now, I know Trump and he have some issues, but a vast majority of Georgians actually think he's governing it very conservatively. And then you had Ratzenberger, the Secretary of State, who won re-election over Jody Heiss. Jody Heiss was, if you will, part of this coalition. He had been at the first event we had in 1 May, really hadn't engaged with us that strongly since then. I know we've reached out and tried to have forums in Georgia and so forth. And from folks that I'm hearing that I trust on the ground in Georgia, it was two things that occurred that they can see. They're not seeing any illegal activity, but two things. One is that Purdue and Heiss, they're saying, didn't really run really good campaigns. And you just cannot solely rely on a Trump endorsement and think it's going to coast you through to the finish line. Yeah. You have to give the voters something to vote for. Mm-hmm. And secondly is they have an open primary in Georgia. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Stacey Abrams didn't have any competition. She was running unopposed. Raphael Warnock was running unopposed. Mm-hmm. So what happens, it looks like, is Democrats legally voted in the Republican primary, which they can do. They ask for a Republican ballot. And if there was a runoff, they have to stay in that lane. They can't go back to a Democrat one. And they voted for Kemp and for Rassenberger, maybe to tick off Trump, who knows? But they didn't do, as we can see, they didn't do anything illegal. They just used the system to their benefit, and maybe to put a finger in the eye of President Trump.
Very.
And in Alabama, Jim Ziegler, in Alabama, like in Georgia, you have to get 50 plus one. Nobody got 50, so he's the leading candidate. He's won more of the percentage than Wes Allen, who was his competitor, and they'll have a runoff on June 21st.
These are on the AmericaFirstSOS.com website, another great resource. I don't know if before the last year or so, people really appreciated Secretary of State's that role. It's kind of, you knew they're around. What do they really do? We know what they do.
Yep.
We know what they do now. So go AmericaFirstSOS.com. You want somebody fair and somebody that's committed to truth.
Yeah, and we know George Soros and those folks, they knew about a decade ago how important that was, and they funded the Secretary of State project to put their secretaries of state. And it should be nobody's Secretary of State. It should be the Secretary of State representing the people of your damn state.
That's right.
Some politician Secretary of State.
And that's what you're finding, too, is a lot of the people that are running, they are not politicians in any way. They have not had any affiliation of that in the past. But a lot of them, they feel called, that God's called them for this time. And it's interesting to see how they've stepped up. And it's exciting to see what's happening. You know, what a lot of times people don't really realize is when God calls somebody to do something, he's going to equip them. He's going to qualify them to fill that position. And even in a race where maybe it doesn't even look like they could win, we are hearing over and over again, they're winning. And it's really exciting to see that.
They're winning. And I tell you what's interesting is, you know the esteemed political advisor pollster, Dick Morris, who has advised both the Clintons and Trump as well. He's reaching out to folks like Christina Caramo and through her asking about this coalition. And one of the comments I think is telling that he is saying is that, one, yes, these are strong candidates for the general election. And number two, these people, these candidates, if you will, and I think he started with talking about Mastriano when he won the Republican primary for governorship of Pennsylvania, because in that state, the governor appoints the Secretary of State. He said, and you know something, Mastriano, and I would say then you see these other candidates, they're not controlled by the GOP apparatus in their states. They are independent. They are principled. They align with the Republican principles as they should be applied, but they're not controlled by the backroom politics of their party.
I love it.
You know, Robin Bullock had a prophetic word this last week and was speaking directly to Republican leadership, directly to the GOP as a party, that they, and this is, you know, probably a little outside of election integrity stuff, but he had a mandate that they need to tell the truth, that they need to operate with integrity or their time is over. Mm-hmm. Their time is over. And you know, I'm not for a third party kind of thing and diluting the conservative vote or any of that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying people are so hyper aware of what's going on that if they don't see honesty and integrity, they're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, they're going somewhere else. And it's like, but they're crying out for justice.
And God's speaking.
Yeah.
God is talking about it for sure. So you can go to accfei.org. When you go there, you can find out events that might be happening in your area. Like you've talked about Kansas and all these different areas, Hawaii, if it's not in your area, maybe even just going for fun. But you can go there and check it out. And Mac, can they purchase tickets from there as well?
They can, as you, when they see the site that's up, you know, for their respective thing, like in this case, you'll see the next one's Ohio and Kansas. You can go there and purchase tickets right from the site.
I love it. I love it.
We got invited to Wisconsin in January, do live interviews. We're going to be at the Kansas event, but the phone never rang for Hawaii. So
I told people, I said, you know, I know they're busy, but I bet you Hawaii might have a little.
It's kind of appealing.
It's beautiful. Matt, thanks for being a great Marine.
Yeah.
You know, truly, you never stop being one. Thank you for loving your country and following through on your commitment to our Constitution.
Hey, you're welcome. And I think all of us who served go our oath to the Constitution, not to the government, to the Constitution doesn't have an expiration date.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Thanks all again, right. Matt. Are you having a hard time sleeping at night thinking, what are you going to do about your finances?
If you went back to 1920 and you had a $20 bill and you had 1 ounce of gold, you could go into a men's clothing store and you could buy an entire suit, the jacket, shoes, pants, belt, everything. Today, what would that $20 bill buy you? You couldn't buy a handkerchief for the $20 bill, but that 1 ounce of gold would still buy you, even today, it would buy you an entire men's suit, shoes, belt, pants, jacket, everything. That's the difference. But today, that change is happening faster than ever.
And we know a guy by the name of Dr. Kirk Elliott that we've known for over 25 years. He has two PhDs.
This is who we're actually using. This is who our friends and family are using. And he's a guy we trust completely. And in today's era, you need somebody you trust. So go to flyovergold.com and learn how to protect yourself against an inflating dollar. Today on the Flyover Conservative Podcast, we have the merger of what I consider something very clever and something very necessary.
Very necessary.
You know, you walk around and sometimes you see something and you're like, that's messed up. Mm-hmm. But then it's just kind of, you know it. But if you got thousands of people spotting something that's kind of messed up, like, how do you know? What do you do?
Yep.
Put a post on your Facebook or tell your cousin or, you know, so it's like, hey, what do we do with that stuff? We have a, what I consider basically pretty much not certifiable, but basically a genius.
Yep. I agree.
Joining us here today on the podcast with an incredible technology that's going to blow your brains. You're going to want to see this. Spencer Bone with Liberty Alliance.
Yay!
Everywhere. Every time I step into place, I need to have that around me. But David, Stacy, thank you so much for having me on. Longtime listener, first time calling in. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, we just got to get right to the chase. Okay, listeners, buckle up. If you're on a treadmill right now or something else, you're going to want to see this.
Yep.
But this guy came up with something called a woke heat map. A woke heat map.
Genius.
What in the world is a woke heat map?
So as we all know, there's this crazy ideology permeating all across the country and in Missouri, critical race theory, woke extremism, and things along the like. Well, we wanted to create an interactive tool that spotlights what's being done in the shadows. And so you've got our website pulled up right here. What this is a Missouri woke heat map. So all of these pinpoints that you see on the map are occurrences in which one of the three have occurred. Either critical race theory was pushed, woke extremism was pushed, or a crazy action was taken by a crazy leftist. Mm-hmm. And so what it'll do is once you click on that source, it'll redirect you to the problem at hand.
Now, this is just launching. This is the first kind of public appearance of this technology. And I love it because it is, people see this, their child brings home something from school and they just think, well, that's odd, but what do I do? I should go to the school board or something. Mm-hmm. That's not till next month or, you know, all these things. But together, when we all know something's crazy, we all see a problem, you know, there's voice to it. So let's walk through one specifically. Producer Colton here clicked on one. And how would that come to fruition? How does a person enter that in?
I don't know if you can see it. So it's from Troy, Missouri. And basically, it's supposed to be a math problem. And Colton, can you read the math problem for us? And
you got there, Colton, from hitting a pin on the map, right?
Yep. So I just hit Troy, Missouri here as an example. It pulled up a Twitter post from Christina Pusha. It says, this is math homework from a public school district in Missouri. How does this help kids learn algebra exactly? No wonder China is winning. And the problem is, so you got problem number three, y equals x plus 2, 3x plus 6, y equals 12. And so then after that, it gives a word problem. So you're supposed to be able to solve the math problem, then it gives a word problem. Angela was sexually abused by her mother's blank. at age 8, which shaped her career choices and motivation for writing. So as you solve the math problem, it gives you 3 options as well. So it gives you the math solutions, but it also gives you her boyfriend, her brother, or her father. So these are totally subjective ideas here. Mm-hmm. You solve the math problem, 0 and 2 would be the answer here. So then you find out it was the boyfriend that was doing the sexual abuse. And I'm not exactly sure.
It should at least say allegedly.
Allegedly. Because can you scroll down to the next one too? Because this is shocking.
Okay, next problem, x equals y minus 1, y and then y equals 4x plus 21. Trying to support her son as a single mother, she worked as a pimp, prostitute, and blank. And so then you got the math problems here, but then you also have the options could be bookie, drug dealer, or nightclub dancer. And apparently she worked as a nightclub dancer.
This is unbelievable. This is in
public school math.
But that's important stuff to know.
You know, I graduated high school 7 years ago. I had a great experience. Never once did I ever have an equation that had any of those words in it. How that relates to arithmetic, I mean, is beyond me. But
me too.
This is the reality that we're living in. And it's sad to see that it's in Missouri.
There's a reason why I think we're 32nd or 34th, I think, in the world in education at this point, because mm-hmm. we put a lot of energy towards things that do not help kids prepare for life. So is this simply just for education, or is this in other areas of life? Like, does wokeness permeate other things, or what kind of things, if people in the state of Missouri see this and they're like, oh, I got something I would like to add. Does it have to be a part of school?
Not necessarily, but every spot that we have so far is related. Now, not everything included takes place in a classroom per se. So there are a few spots on this map where it discusses a few individuals that defaced pro-life memorials or mm-hmm. threw trash bags, threw American flags into trash bags, a memorial that was dedicated to commemorate the lives lost on 9/11. And so these are things that are happening, maybe not in the classroom, but very much apart or adjacent to the campus.
That's huge. Okay, so when they go on the website, they go to libertyalliance.usa.com, then yep. they click where on that?
Go to the woke hotspots.
Okay, click on that. And then there's a submission form there that they can fill out the information there, as well as, you know, whatever end up happening. Is that where they would like put the tweet or whatever in that place as well?
Yep. Any type of supporting documentation or anything that relates to what they're submitting, enter it there. You can also direct message us on Facebook or Twitter, Liberty Alliance, Liberty All USA on both platforms. But yeah, that if someone has something they want to send, this is the link to do it.
Man, okay, so this is just Missouri, but what if somebody lives in another state? Is this something that they could do as well? And if so, could they partner with you to make this happen?
Well, what they could do, if someone has some information about what's going on in Kansas, Illinois, or anywhere, they could submit it to us, and then we can get that information to anyone who may be doing something similar in those states, or someone that's dedicated to fighting this type of ideology. So we'd be for sure willing to share that information.
Man, that is so cool. So what is Liberty Alliance? If somebody's listening, they don't know what that is. What is Liberty Alliance?
Liberty Alliance, we are a conservative grassroots-based organization, and our message is very straightforward. We exist to advance the conservative mission, uphold and defend the ideals that make both Missouri and our country great, and to fight back against anything that threatens our way of life, which, as you can see, in today's day and age, that is the agenda of the radical left. And so they are everywhere, and we're doing whatever we can to fight back.
Our values are under attack. Help us fight back. You know, a lot of people, I think over the last year, there was clearly an agenda to isolate and silence. They wanted you locked up at home alone. They put a mask over your face, can't see your smile. You're censored on Facebook. You only hear one message from mainstream media. Any counter messaging is silenced and put down. What you're doing is actually uniting, creating an alliance of bringing people together to magnify the voice of conservatives, which actually gives us a chance to kind of fight back. I mean, is that kind of the goal?
Absolutely. We're trying to advance the conservative movement. Our principles are outlined in the United States Constitution, and that's what we're trying to promote and advance. And it's going to take all of us to meet the challenge that we have at this very moment. It's going to take folks like you, David, you, Stacey, you, Colton, and any conservative that's listening. We want you to be a part of the alliance. And you have the opportunity to do so if you go to libertyalllianceusa.com and subscribe. It's completely free, and you can follow us and see all of our content on our social media platforms as well.
I love this. One of our mottos we say all the time is people were sitting back wanting Donald Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. The real answer is 80 million Americans doing one thing each day to save their own country. You're just creating a technology that facilitates that action.
Mm-hmm. Look, yes. And, you know, I will say Missourians are waking up, they're speaking up, and they're showing up. And by helping us identify where these hot spots are, we're gonna get to the other side, and we're gonna come out of this.
Let me ask you a question as we wrap up. You know, we're a red state. You know, and sometimes, you know, you think of Texas, you think of Missouri, mm-hmm. you think of some of these places like, well, hey, we got it covered. You know, hey, we got Josh Hawley, you know, we got Mike Moon, you know, down in the South. You know, we have these really great, great conservatives, but there is this chipping away agenda, like termites creeping in. The house is still standing, but it kind of creeps in at full termites. What is your projection? We got midterms coming up. We got, you know, the 24 election. What do you see as the trajectory, and will there be a price to pay, I guess, for the left by the conservatives of actually showing up in a big way and taking ground back, you know, this next year?
I think, did you all see the poll that even CNN put out that 86% of Americans are not satisfied with the direction of our country? Wow. I think that tells you all that you need to know. If an organization like CNN, we all know about CNN, if they're saying that, well, I think that speaks volumes about what we're going to be seeing here in the next couple of months.
Woo!
Exciting times.
I love it. Spencer, thank you so much for your time. We can't wait to have you back. We appreciate what you're doing with Liberty Alliance.
Real quick in the closing, make sure we get the Twitter handle on there. Follow them on Twitter. Yep. It's at Liberty Alliance. You can put that on the screen. It'll be down in the links below, but at Liberty, say it again, the Twitter.
At Liberty All USA.
At Liberty All USA.
And if I have one last thing to say to your viewers, to everyone listening, if you care about conservative values and principles, if you care about the direction of our country, if you care about the United States Constitution, join us, join the Alliance, go to libertyallianceusa.com and subscribe today and follow us on social media at LibertyAllUSA. Thank you so much, David and Stacey.
Fantastic.
Yes.
In life, it's not what you know, but who you know. That's what they say.
That's true.
That tends to be true a lot. More importantly, who they know.
Yep.
You know, that's an important thing. So helpful. Because you're part of this show, you know us, which isn't a huge help, but we know a guy that's got two PhDs when it comes to economics.
Yes.
I stumble up saying it.
You got so excited.
Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Yay!
Don't worry, David. I get fumbled up saying it too.
PhDs. See,
where I grew up on this farm, PhD stood for post hole digger.
Yeah.
It had two handles. You stick it in the ground. That's what that was my tool.
That was PhD.
That was my tool of the trade. Yeah. I was a PhD.
Yeah. You had two of them.
Yeah. I had two PhDs, one for each hand. You know, is how that worked. But yours is much more valuable when it comes to people trying to survive this season we're in. Until God intervenes in a more direct way, things are corrected, and I'm praying, I'm hopeful, I'm believing and expecting amazing things. But in the meantime, there's some very unamazing things happening, and we have to be wise in the moment, and that's why I like of everything we're talking about now. Like I can handle not taking the vax. I know what to do there. Just no. All right, I know what to do on a lot of these things. I've got, in case of emergency, break glass and call Dr. Sherwood. If something were to happen with my health, boom, he walked us through COVID. It was a little speed bump. Mm-hmm. But this is something I'm watching every day because it impacts us, everyone we know. It's like the potential for COVID, but for everybody.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about everything you have, your net worth and what's going on, banks being closed and all this stuff that's happening. These are real bullets that are flying.
They are real bullets. And when you hear other PhDs talk, right, it's like, so when I was working on my master's, actually not my PhD, but where I went, very exclusive school of international policy and like Condoleezza Rice went there. Madeleine Albright went there. I mean, they all graduated. They're all, you know, alumni from the same little graduate school.
Different years, though. Than you and Madeleine Albright. Yeah. She was
just a little.
Don't let it fool you. No, so when they would actually have their communist ideology just spewing out of their mouths, right? Our word for PhD, some of the students, well, most of the students actually agreed wholeheartedly with what they were saying, but not me. So, I, you know, basically I said, okay, that just means piled higher and deeper is what it
That's funny.
Yeah. So not all PhDs are created equal. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But you know, what I want to talk about from you know, what is a PhD? They do a lot of research. That's mm-hmm. that's really what PhDs do, right? And you yep. and you identify trends, and you not just that you see a trend, but you understand what makes up the trend, the fundamental yeah. factors that cause a trend to be a trend. I mean, that's generally what PhDs study. So this is what I'm going to go over mm-hmm. with everybody today is when you look back at the largest stock market collapse that we have seen in modern history was in 2000, right? The tech mm-hmm. stock bubble in 2000, it was an 80% correction. I mean, wow. that took 2.5 years to accomplish that, but it came down 80%. But how did it start, right? So it started because markets got way overbought. They got way overvalued, irrational exuberance, right? The greed factor started to really come into play because markets started going up, 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 up. And then people thought, I want to play. Mm-hmm. I got to participate in this thing, right? And that's when you start to see the chart just go parabolic and go straight up. Well, at some point, it just gets exhausted, right? It gets overheated and it needs to correct. Well, that's what happened. But how did it correct? So,
yeah.
In a 6-month span, you know, before it came down 80%, in 6 months, it came down 21%.
Wow.
So look at that chart. So 92 to 2022, right? So this is the NASDAQ and you look at 2000, that bubble or that little, you know, peak or mm-hmm. early on, like maybe a quarter of the way in. So that's the 2000 collapse. Right. That was an 80% correction from the peak. Mm-hmm. Well, look at what has happened since then. I mean, this is like an order of magnitude more. I mean, there's so much debt. There's so much overbought. There's so much overvalued that now. So when you had that correction in 2000, it came down 21% in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
This one has come down 29% in 6 months.
Wow.
So we're actually worse than the biggest one that we've seen in modern day history. But when you look at that chart that's on the screen, of course it's going to be worse. You know, the old adage, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at how much more that it's valued at, right? And what is that? What caused that massive amount of growth where the biggest stock market, you know, hiccup that we've mm-hmm. seen in modern day is small in comparison to where we are right now with the value of the NASDAQ, which is mostly tech stocks. So it's all debt. Mm-hmm. It's all debt that created that, right? It's not necessarily real money. It's stimulus money. It's money that the Fed printed out of thin air to keep the markets propped up. It's people borrowing to invest, right? This is a dangerous way to invest, is when you invest on wow. leverage yep. and things like that. So that's what's happening there. So what else is falling with tech stocks? Well, cryptocurrencies are as well. See, in cryptocurrencies, and you know, people call me every single day. It's like, hey, Kirk, which cryptocurrency do you recommend? Do you like Ethereum? Do you like Lightwave? Do you like Bitcoin? Do you like XRP? Which one do you like?
Mm-hmm.
You know what my answer is? Guess which one I like.
None of them.
None of them. Good job. I can't stand any one of them because they're not real, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what is a cryptocurrency? Tell me what it is. Well, nobody really can. Well, it exists. It's a digital thing. It's a number. Nobody knows what it is, right? Mm-hmm. They fumble around because it's not anything. It's yep. it's really not anything. It has value because people think that it has value. That's all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what is
kinda
that?
Kind of like our money right now.
Well, that's why yeah. there's so many cryptos and there's new ones all the time.
Yeah.
It's because you just right. can make it. Bada boom. It's like baseball cards.
Mm-hmm.
Cryptocurrency is the digital version of fiat money creation, where you can just, it just comes out of thin air. There's nothing tangible backing it. And everyone would say, this is what's wild to me, because people would say, well, central bank fiat-based money creation, it's evil and it's horrible and there's nothing to it and the dollar is declining, but yet they like cryptocurrency. It's like, why? It's the same thing. It's just a digital version of it, right? There's nothing behind it, right? It has value because people think that it has value. So now we've got people like Guggenheim Partners, Scott Minard, he's the chief investment officer for Guggenheim. He predicted today. No. It wasn't today. I read the article today. Okay. It was on Monday. It was okay. So it's still this week, right? Mm-hmm. Predicted that Bitcoin would probably fall to 8,000. Well, it's like at 30,000 right now. So that's a 70% correction. And why? Well, because when you look at what causes cryptocurrency, it's basically based on debt. People will borrow to invest in cryptocurrency in a big, 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 big way, right? Mm-hmm. So he said the Federal Reserve's hiking of interest rates, tightening monetary policy, the massive amounts of debt, stuff coming out from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland this week, that they're all saying, well, with potential taxation of unrealized gains, with governments all over the world now starting to attack cryptocurrencies because it's hiding. You can have money laundering, you can have all kinds of stuff. Yeah. It's not necessarily what they want. Plus, the people in Davos, the people at the World Economic Forum, don't want people to invest in decentralized cryptocurrency. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the way. They don't want decentralized power.
Nope.
They don't want decentralized, rules on speech. They don't want decentralized currency. It's got to, they want the whole thing to be really as close to a king as they can have it.
Yeah. But now they are pushing a cryptocurrency. They're pushing their own, which is centralized, which we talked about maybe 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. When the show that we talked about, Pippa Malmgren speaking from the World Government Forum in Abu Dhabi, right? So when you centralize cryptocurrency at the central bank level and have digital currency instead of fiat-based money, it's not private, right? And that's the issue. It's basically every transaction, the source of money can be traced, right? And this is how they want it. So they don't want decentralized cryptocurrency blockchain. They want centralized blockchain, right? Because that way everything can be traced. Everything can be tracked. The source of money, what you spend it on, who you are, you'll have a digital social profile, right? So what are they doing? They're blasting cryptocurrency as we know it. And to the point where, I bet Bitcoin will come down to 8,000. I agree with the Guggenheim CIO. Mm-hmm. But I think that's Bitcoin. That's the biggest in the world, right? Most of them will probably go out of business. That's my guess. Because they're small, they don't necessarily have a market. You have to make a market for them. And if nobody wants it, well, they're just going to kind of go away and your investment goes to zero. This is why it's so important to, I don't agree with his politics, right? But I do agree with his philosophy, which would be Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
He invests in companies that have an inherent value, a book value, which means plant, property, equipment, people, process. They all have a book value. And when you add up all the assets of a company, it comes up to a certain amount. You divide that by the number of shares outstanding, and that's the book value, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, if you can buy a company for less than the book value, you're going to be a very wealthy person moving forward. That's value-based investing, not values-based. There's a difference. That's a value, not a moral value, right? It's just a monetary value. So that's how he invests. And he is a smart investor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, obviously. And he's done well.
When it comes to politics, he's thinking he's a goofball, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to investing, he's really good. And I love value-based investing, right? Buy something at a discount and ride it up. And that's how you will acquire wealth. Well, what's the biggest discount right now in the world of investing? It's silver. I mean, if you go to usdebtclock.org, you can look and see what the actual real value of silver should be. Actually, Colton, is there any way that you could actually bring that up really quick? I know I put you on the spot here.
Oh, that's good.
You got to push him. Push him a little bit.
USdebtclock.org, is that what you said?
Yeah, usdebtclock.org. And it actually gives you the actual value outside of manipulation of what the price of gold and silver would be. Mm-hmm. So
there it is.
This is perfect. There's where it is. So if you look down on the right-hand side, the very far right-hand side, it actually shows you, and I'm actually going to pull it up on my screen so I can see it because my eyes aren't so good to see it on my
screen. I was kind of thinking the same thing for me, too. We're a little ways from our screen. I'm like, man, I can't see that.
When you went to college with Albright, I mean, can't see that good anymore.
She graduated a little bit before me. just a little bit, right? So anyway, it's talking about the dollar to gold ratio now. Basically, that puts the real price of gold at $17,189 an ounce. Well, it puts silver at $2,333 per ounce. What are we at? We're at 24 bucks an ounce, not 2,333. So this tells you how undervalued silver is. It should be, without manipulation, $2,333 an ounce. So when you have people in our economic side, you know, in our camp that say, hey, silver should go to 600 to 1,000 bucks. Like when you had Bo on the,
yep. Right, yeah. That's what he said.
Talking about some of these big numbers, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, even his numbers are understated based on where it should be, right?
Right.
So this is where I'm really comfortable.
Wow.
I think silver is going to hit $75 to $100 an ounce. Okay, how much less is that than $2,333? It's a lot.
It's a
lot. Tripling to quadrupling from where we are today, right?
Yep.
And so gold at $17,189. Why is that not the same as silver, that huge, you know, increase in where it is today? Well, it's because the ratio isn't in favor of it. The ratio is in favor of silver, which is why we've been shouting from the rooftops going to silver. So how did we get into this conversation when we were talking about cryptocurrencies? Because we're talking about investing into things that have value and things that are on sale, right? So the stock market, the NASDAQ is going to hit the skids. At some point, it's probably going to be a good thing to buy again, but I bet it comes down 80%, just like it did in 2000. We haven't even seen the beginning of it. It's only down 29%.
Well, right? It goes like that. It's what's the expression? It's like trying to catch kitchen knives, you know, steak knives as they're falling.
That would
you
not
know,
be
it's
fun.
Like, it's like you keep thinking that that's the bottom, but it keeps going because the fundamentals are not trending in its favor.
I've never heard that expression before. That sounds kind of dangerous.
Some things you don't reach out and grab, and people do that with investments. That
sounds really bad.
It goes down a little bit and they'll double down. It goes down a little more, they double down. And it's that's where fortunes are shifted. And we know that wealth is being moved from the wicked to the righteous. There's a transference of wealth, and it's not what they've tried to impose by crushing the middle class and giving it to Amazon. It is, there's a spiritual component of this as well that we're not even going to get into on this show, but there is a movement of wealth, and it's being moved towards tangible things. But people have to be awake and they have to be aware. This is generational shift.
Huge generational shift. And so, you know, as we kind of wind up the show, what are the points that the last six months, the NASDAQ is down 29% prior to the biggest collapse in NASDAQ history, in tech stock history, it was down 21% in 6 months. We are actually worse in trend wise than what we were back then. And so what's coming next is, I think, a precipitous fall. When you start to look at what should we invest in, you have to invest in value. You have to go into something that's low, that's going to go up, right? So this is where usdebtclock.org came in, and we looked at silver, and the real value of silver is not 23, it's not 24 bucks an ounce. It's not even 75 or 100 bucks an ounce. It's over $2,000 an ounce.
Unbelievable.
So here's where we have the opportunity of a lifetime, I think, to really maximize our impact, maximize our investing positions. Mm-hmm. Because even if we're, I don't even know, even if you're like 95% wrong,
right,
you're still going to get 75 to 100, right? I mean, this is the weird, this is where the PhDs that are spouting off information, that looking at trends, okay, you don't even have to be smart to figure this one out, right? It's like silver is the most undervalued asset on the planet at this point.
This is huge.
Allocate into it as much as you possibly can, because that's what the numbers and that's what the math is telling us to do. Strip the emotion out of the equation.
Yep.
This is what the math is telling us to
fly do. Fly over that's family. Exactly, you want to be on the right side of this. Mm-hmm. Go to flyovergold.com, set up a time, have a conversation, do it today. Initiate that call. It takes a little bit of time. This isn't something you're going to figure out in five minutes. You want to do what's right for you and your situation, but it takes a bit. Set up an appointment, get a call, you know, make choices, pray about it. Go to flyovergold.com, but do it today so you got that ball rolling, or give them a phone call.
That's exactly right. You can call 720-605-3900. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirk. We really appreciate your time.
We had an amazing conversation with Todd Coconato. Here's a small clip of it. The rest will be available next week. But check this out.
Oh, we have been really looking forward to this. And so we've got a bunch of questions, but we're like, all right, Lord, you lead it, you guide it, because his way is always way better anyway.
This could go a lot of directions. I want to tell people, though, as we get started, a lot of people are frustrated today with Facebook and the negativity and things going on there. And if you're looking for like a bright light, somebody's got something good to say, something clever, like something you could probably steal and use in your sales meeting at work, or you could use on your kids and appear smarter and more clever than you actually really are. This is a great resource to steal from. If you go to Todd Coconato, and you can see the name on the screen there, we'll put it in the links down below. If you're listening on Apple or Podbean or one of those spaces, we'll put it down below. It's worth going onto
on Facebook. Yep.
Gone to Facebook for that. But PastorTodd.org is kind of a central hub where you can be able to find him, find his work, write that down. Remember that if you're on the treadmill, your time runs up before this is over, come back. All that information and anything else referenced, books, ideas, things like that, will all be in the notes below so you can capture what's happening. Todd, we've started watching you at the Reawaken America events with General Flynn and Clay Clark some of those spaces, and you would just always stand out as like, wow, that guy took something and turned it into something totally different. There's a restaurant here in Lee Summit, Missouri that always has these interesting things. They'll have like Korean tacos or something. I'm like, taco I got, Korean food got, okay, I didn't see that coming. And they just take different things and make it amazing. That's kind of what you do with life. We always look forward to hearing you speak.
Oh, thank you, David. You know, I mean, you can look at the glass half empty or the glass half full. And Jesus Christ, we're always on the winning team. That's one thing that I've come to understand and realize. Mm. And, you know, this thing, if you look at it, you know, Satan is a fallen archangel, right? But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who sits on the throne. He's never stepped down from the throne. So we're on the winning team. And so I really am a firm believer that we have to act like winners. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are walking around full of fear right now. Very concerned. And yes, there's very egregious things. We all see it. We all know it, that are happening in our world. But at the same time, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're citizens of heaven, and we are serving the God of heaven and earth. And he said that we're going to be able to do not only what he's done, but greater things.
Amen.
So I'm really expectant in this season. I think I you know, often say it's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time, but it's the church's greatest hour. And this is, we were made for this time. And so it's not a mistake that we're here in this season. And so let's make the best of it. Let's go out and occupy until he comes. Be the church, be the head, not the tail. And we the authority in Jesus' name to pull down the strongholds. And that's what has to happen in our country right now. You know, we've got to pull down the strongholds and we've got to understand that it's a spiritual battle.
Well, wow, that is so true.
I want to get to that. We want to talk some politics. We're going to talk a little bit of Donald Trump. We're going to talk about the future of our country. We're talking about the current state of the church, the future state of the church. But I don't know if this is accurate. The way I understand it is you decided at a young age, like 5, 6, 7, maybe by the age of 10, that you were going to go into ministry full time. You got a life coach that walked you through that process. You were groomed into it. And you had this lifelong trajectory of preparedness like a professional athlete to be a pastor. And nobody that knew you was surprised. Is that was that you, or was that Joel Osteen or somebody else? I don't remember.
Let me tell you something, David. That was not me. In fact, if people in that period of time, if we go back in time and you would have said, Pastor, you know, Todd's gonna be a pastor, he's gonna be an evangelist, they probably laughed in your face. Because I was the farthest from that. I was a child actor from 8 to 16. I was partying in the club scene from 16 to 21. You know, the last thing you would ever thought about Todd Coconato would be evangelist or pastor. Mm-hmm. And I got to see a lot of the inner workings of Hollywood. You know, before I got married, I dated some Hollywood actresses and, you know, really was involved in, you know, I saw the Disney machine. I saw the whole mm-hmm. thing. And I think that God allowed me to see that because he knew later on I would use the enemy's playbook against him.
Wow.
And so, there was mercy. I didn't have the molestations or the casting couch that happened to me, but it did happen to some of my friends. And so I saw these things firsthand. I saw the promiscuity, the way they exploit young people sexually. And so all these things were in my mind, and they're part of the ministry that God's given me today. But let me just tell you a quick story. When I was 21 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord at a retreat in Hawaii. It was a God thing. I was invited there. Then 2 years, I was completely alienated because I couldn't find Christian friends that I could relate to. And I had come out of the party scene and the LA, you know, club scene and you know, Hollywood. And so it was so foreign for me to be in a super conservative church where people wearing suits and ties. And I just felt totally out of place. It was so weird. And so I'm trying to find my identity in Christ. And in 2 years in, I go back to one of my old friends because I was bored and I was lonely. And I go back to hang out with somebody, and I'm walking through this apartment complex in Granada Hills, California. And this guy who I believe was on drugs and alcohol runs out of this apartment with a kitchen knife, you know, like a big kitchen knife, and proceeds to stab me 9 times. It's crazy. And so I literally was about to die right then and there. And the guy that stabbed me had a moment of sobriety. And I think he realized he was about to be a murderer. And so he picks me up, puts me into my SUV, and he has this girl with him. So it's him and this girl in the front seat. I'm in the middle seat, and I'm on the way to the hospital with the guy that just stabbed me, driving the car, okay?
Wow.
And on the way to the hospital, I go into the presence of the Lord. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. In that chapter, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Mm-hmm. Well, I felt like that. I saw the Lord seated on the throne. I was in the presence of the Most High, and I heard the Lord say to me, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I said, Lord, I want to live. He says, if you live, you got to be two things. You got to be sold out for me, and you got to tell people that I'm real. I said, well, yes, Lord, I'll do that. So I felt like Isaiah, send me, I'll go. Yes, Lord. And when I said that, I woke up and I was in a hospital bed, and some woman looks down at me and she says, you should not be alive. You should be dead. But I did live. And so it's a miracle. I really believe I died and the Lord spared my life. And so that's how I started on this faith journey. And so what do you do after that? You enroll in Bible college and you become a pastor and evangelist. And so that's a short version of a long story, but that's how I got to be a pastor.
Well, that's a shortcut.
What a cool story.
It's a shortcut to being holy.
Yeah, no kidding. That's true in many ways.
In many ways.
Man, I tell you though, that is powerful because it sets your life on a trajectory that has changed a lot of other people's lives because of that. That's pretty incredible. God uses everything, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Did you ever
turn around what was meant for evil, and he turned around for good? Yeah.
Did you ever have any more conversations with that guy, or is there anything more to that story? Have you ever looked him up? Are you friends on Facebook or anything like that now?
It's funny you mentioned that, David. You know, I've heard different things. I believe that the man that did that 2 years later was involved in some type of situation where he was carjacked or something like that. But you know, there's a lot more to the story. Mm. But I never did really have any communication with him other than trying to reach out. I think I wrote him a letter. And the letter was basically saying that I forgave him.
Wow.
I believe the letter got to him. It was a very difficult thing to do. I'm Italian, and I have family in New York that were literally saying, hey, Todd, we'll come out. We'll take care of this guy. I'm not even kidding you. And there was a temptation to do it. I'm not even lying.
Sure.
But instead, I really felt the Lord say, you got to forgive this guy, and you even got to write him a letter. And so I did, and I gave it to somebody who I thought might be able to get it to him. And, you know, I've heard different stories, but I can't confirm any of them.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
There must be something redeeming in him for him mm-hmm. to then take you.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a hit and run or stab and run, you know, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. And,
yeah.
You know, if you were in contact, you know, people think they have a lot of friends. Oh, I got 5,000 friends, whatever. But you know how many friends you got when you go to move? Like, you know, probably if you got one guy on the other end of the sofa, like you got
That's your friend.
But it'd be good to, if you could stay in touch with him, because like you would have a forever, like, hey, I'm moving on Saturday card. Like, oh, yeah. I'm busy Saturday. Dude, you stabbed me 9 times.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll be there on Saturday. I hope you move. Like, every time you're in a pinch, you got somebody there to help you.
That is true.
You would have one on that guy forever.
Where are your hard-earned dollars going? Are they going to fund the deep state, or are they going to fund the kingdom?
And you know where you stand with a guy like Mike Lindell and MyPillow.com. And not only is he a great guy and he supports great causes, he makes the best products in the world in his category.
Yeah, 10-year warranties on their products. My favorite product, when you go to MyPillow.com and you put the promo code FLYOVER right at the top, you get up to 66% off. Right now, they're running a special on the slippers. They are my very favorite. I know I've talked about it many times, but these slippers are absolutely amazing. It is like
she doesn't leave the house without them hardly.
For your feet. In fact, a lot of times I'll put them in my purse. So if I'm wearing heels or something and my feet start hurting, I'll put on my slippers. They have this great bottom on them too, that makes it really nice, and that they're not going to get ruined when you do go outside.
And you know what? Every time you spend a dollar, you're voting. You're voting in a big way. Let's support Mike Lindell. He's supporting you. He's supporting our country. Let's support him.
So you all know how much I love my slippers. Yeah. But even this manly man over here wears slippers. Show him your slippers.
When your feet's right, your mind's right.
That is exactly
happy
right.
Happy feet, happy life.
So go to mypillow.com/flyover. You can get them for $49.98 right now. We bless you. We bless you to realize you were born for such a time as this. We bless you to realize your future is brighter than your past. And we bless you to wake up. Speak up and show up.
Thanks, guys.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Wyden. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.